So we record our messages. Another reason why we do it is every once in a while, pastor messes up. And it's good to have somebody say, hey, told you. I tell people all the time, you want to see somebody perfect, let me point you to Jesus. Because if you're looking at me to be perfect, you're going to be disappointed. We all fall short. Or, excuse me, we all on this side of the pulpit fall short. I'm not going to speak for everybody. I want to talk this morning about constant progress. We talked last week about a changed life, how God has changed our life, and we can look back and see that. But sometimes when we go looking at our circumstances, we seem to be doing just like children of Israel and going around that mountain one more time and not making any progress at all. Seems like nothing seems to be changing. So take a look at the picture on the front of your bulletin. Everybody knows what that is. Now, some of us have pretty good memories. Do you remember when you were that size? Do you remember all the effort you put into... Okay, so for those of you listening online and are not seeing this, it's a picture of the stages of development of a human baby. Babies in the womb, different growth, different time periods. You know, so many, this many weeks or that many weeks. What kind of effort did we put in to grow, to be born? Anybody remember? I sure don't. I'm pretty sure I had no conscious thought of, boy, I can't wait to be born. The Bible tells us that it is God that works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is the one who makes us want to do the things He's called us to do and makes us able to do the things He's called us to do. So just like that baby being formed in his mother's womb and growing inside her body didn't have any effort, didn't have any conscious plan, didn't work hard to grow. It's just something that God is doing. That even when things look like nothing is happening, even when our circumstances seem to be stuck, we seem to be in a rut, it seems like there is absolutely no change, there are things going on that we don't see. The Bible tells us, in fact, we read it last week, that we are changed from glory to glory. Not that we're doing it, but what God is doing in us. And if God is the one who sees the end from the beginning, who began the good work and is faithful to complete it, is at work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, we're making progress whether we see it or not. I don't know about you, that's something to praise God about. Because there's times I look and I'm like, I should be farther down this road than I am. Maybe you don't feel that way, but I certainly do. In Psalms 139, beginning with verse 13, the psalmist says, "For you formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. In your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts toward me, your thoughts of me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." The psalmist says, God, you were with me when I didn't know anything. When I didn't have a conscious thought, you were with me, and you're still with me, and you're still guiding me. Praise God, that is the same thing for each and every one of us. God is at work in our lives. And because of that, we can rejoice. It doesn't matter if things are going good or things are not going good. It doesn't matter if life is, you know, a bowl of cherries or life is the bowl of the pits, you know. With that, we have those lemons that we haven't made lemonade out of yet. Things are just going badly. But God is still at work. And because God is still at work, we can rejoice. That's why the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Like, I have to remind you to rejoice because it's not always going to be something your conscious mind is going to think, hey, I need to praise God for this. It doesn't always happen that way, does it? Sometimes we find things that are just devastating, overwhelming, difficult to face, difficult to deal with. It can be health issues. It can be financial issues. It can be family issues. It can be divisions within a family that last for decades. Divisions with friends. Just complete separation that lasts for decades. It can be a marriage that's fallen apart. It can be so many things that we go through that are difficult, difficult times. And we do not consciously think, hey, I need to rejoice in this. Yet we are commanded to. Because even when things look bad, even when things are bad, even when things are difficult, God is still at work and is still causing all these things to work together for good. We've all been in circumstances that are very, very difficult. I don't have to be prophetic to know that. That's just a simple fact. That in this world you will have tribulation, Jesus said. Every last one of us goes through difficult things in this life. Peter says, don't consider it strange considering the fiery trial that is to test you as though some strange thing happened. For you know that these same testings are occurring in your brethren that are in the world. So it doesn't matter if you're serving God or not, you're going to have difficult times. Each and every one of us are. So I don't have to guess. I know. And as we go through things, sometimes it's really hard to see the progress. Moses, 40 years on the backside of the desert, running from the Egyptians, because he'd killed the Egyptian, and then the Jew says, "What are you going to?" The Hebrews says, "What are you going to kill me now?" And he went 40 years, he's in the backside of the desert, tending the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro. And God called him. God says, I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. I'm like, why did it take you 40 years? Do we try to put God in our time frame? Do we try to put God on our schedule? Hey, Lord, I need you to do this by next Tuesday because on Wednesday I got something else going on. We try to do that. And when things don't happen the way we think they ought to, sometimes we get upset. Has God ever worked on your time schedule? Nope. Has God ever been late? Never been late. My schedule was a little premature, but God was never late. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. Paul talking to writing to the church at Colossae. And talking to the people about how they should live. Beginning with verse 13, it says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Oh, that'll do it. So fortunately you got your pew Bibles, because I grabbed the wrong one. Wait a minute. What did I grab the wrong one? Oh, because I got dyslexic. I thought maybe it was a typo on my Well, okay, I was going to blame my wife, but it was not her fault. Okay? I will be very, very honest. This was not her fault. This was me. So hang on just a moment while I fix this. And I remove that one and add Colossians 2.
He says that because I have been known to make improvements.
Oh, yeah.
In the bulletins.
And move that up and save that and then present that. Then get back where I'm supposed to be. So the beautiful part about this is I have the microphone on. We're recording as we go. Okay. So for those of you who are just wondering what was going on, I just had to fix the right verse. Colossians 2, beginning with verse 13, not 3. And you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. If we stop right there, Paul says, you were dead. You were helpless. You were hopeless. And God started working on you. God started working in you. He made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The things where our failures, our shortcomings, our sins, our wickedness, he has been wiped out, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Then Paul goes on and says, so let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding to a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are shadows of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding in those things which he has not seen. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. In other words, Paul says, because God is at work in you, because through Christ you have been brought to life and God is leading you and guiding you and teaching you, because he's doing these things, don't worry about what somebody else says. Don't worry about what somebody else does. Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he says, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand because God is able to make him to stand. So if we're told not to worry about what other people are doing because God's taking care of that other person, the same thing can be said when we stand over here and we're talking about this person. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Trust that God is able to work it out. Paul says in another place, if any of you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. God is able to correct our doctrine. God is able to correct our attitude. God is able to work in our hearts. And God is doing all of these things in us, even when it looks like there's no progress. Even when it looks like there's no change. Has anyone ever tried growing bamboo? Now, I'm not talking about Japanese knotweed that a lot of people around here call bamboo. I'm talking about bamboo. You know, the stuff they make floors out of, the stuff they make jewelry boxes out of. You plant a sprig of bamboo, and first year, nothing happens. That you see. And the second year, nothing happens that you see. And the third year, and the fourth year. But right about the seventh year, it grows 12 feet. And once it's established, You've heard of you ever tried to get rid of a weed that's growing in your yard and just seems to keep on coming up?
Horsetails.
Our garden is loaded with horsetails, and thanks to a contractor that brought us some dirt, morning glories. I can dig my shovel in the garden and turn it over, and I've got at least 7 morning glory roots running through there. So, bamboo, you can plant a patch here, and you may have it crop up 40 miles away. This stuff travels. It is almost impossible to get rid of once it's started. You can get rid of just about anything, but you're going to work for it. You're going to work long and hard for it. So you have those things that seem like absolutely nothing is happening, but it's taking place underground. It's taking place behind the scenes. It's taking place in our heart, where God is at work in us. So don't worry about what somebody else is doing. And don't worry about what somebody else thinks about what you're doing. Because we don't answer to other people. We answer to God. And we do it knowing that in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. But through God, all things are possible. Because of the work He has done in us, because of what the price that Jesus paid for us, we can boldly go before the throne of grace having the righteousness of Jesus. You know, it's in Isaiah 53, which I'm going to assume we're all familiar with Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. Verse 10, 11, and 12 in Isaiah 53 says, and I have to do the real New English translation because I don't remember exactly word for word, but what it says is, when you claim His soul as a sacrifice for sin, He looks down and sees Him in your stead. And this was before Jesus came. This is the prophet Isaiah talking about the suffering servant. And then it says, when you rely on Christ, when you rely on Him and recognize, claim His soul as a sacrifice for sin, claim what He has done as atonement for our failures and our shortcomings, for our sin, for our depravity, for our wickedness. When we claim what Jesus has done is sufficient to cover each and every bit of our sin, past, present, and future, God looks down and sees Jesus standing here. God looks down and sees Jesus sitting there. That's not something I've done. That's not something you've done. That is what has been done for us. That's that constant progress that even when we don't see it, we are being transformed into the image of Christ. In Ephesians 4, I should probably get the bulletin and make sure I actually got the right set of scripture, just in case. Yep. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11. Talking about Jesus, says, He Himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. So what that says is, as God is working in us, in us individually, He's also working in us corporately. That the body of Christ is strengthened by what God is doing in each and every one of us. I'm strengthened by what God is doing in you. You're strengthened by what God is doing in somebody else. Each and every one of us, we come together into the stature of the fullness of Christ, and it's God working in us. Does that mean we just kick back, put our feet up, and don't do anything? Of course not. Because as God is stirring in our heart, we desire to do the things He's called us to do. We want to walk worthy of the vocation to which we are called. We want to show the love of Christ in our life. It's a desire that He gives us. Paul says, what do you have that you weren't given? Everything we have is a gift from God. And because God has given it to us and God is working in us and God is changing us, we are making progress even when it doesn't look like it. Praise God for constant progress. Praise God for His timetable and not mine. Because every time I try to figure something out, I tend to make a mess. So, I am not a handyman. I intend to learn to be a handyman when I retire in 179 days, but who's counting? For my day job. I'm not retiring from the church. I'm retiring from my day job. So I intend to learn to be a handyman. But as we've done some home modifications, can't really call them home improvements because I'm not a handyman. We call them home modifications. Over the years and done some things, I'll get my mind set on how something needs to be. And I'll figure out how to do it, and I'll make it, and it will be what I thought it was going to be. And then that, you know, I'm a firm believer that a one-person job does not need a supervisor. But my better half isn't always of the same mindset. So about the time I've gone to all the trouble to figure out how to do something and done it and it's effective. Not beautiful, not craftsmanlike, effective. I'll get the, well, why didn't you do it this way? So I am learning to be a good husband. We've only been married 17 years. I'm learning to be a good husband. You know, I'm learning to maybe ask her ahead of time how I should do it before I go to the trouble to figure out how to do what needs to be done, because it seems if that's in our home life, if that's in our everyday thing, how about dealing with the person who knows the end from the beginning? Shouldn't we check with God rather than try to figure things out in our own mind? Shouldn't we trust God's word, knowing that He who began the good work is faithful to complete it? What we've committed to Him, He is able to keep. The things that we recognize that God is able to perform, God is able to work everything out. But we want to, or I'm pretty sure it's we, but, you know, just in case it's not, I tend to have my own way of doing things. And inevitably, invariably, I don't have all the information. God does. So when things just look to, in our eyes, like they're not making sense, it is not working, it is not going to come together, I should be farther along in this walk. Why do I keep stumbling over this area? Why can't I be nicer to people? Why do I keep finding myself back here at this one spot? Whatever it is. Why do bad things keep happening in my life? All the things that come up that we all face. As we look at it, if we look at it in our own understanding, it doesn't look like progress is being made. But God is at work in us. Deb, I'm not going to do the last passage of Scripture. The last passage of Scripture from your bulletin is from Psalm 37. It says some of the things I've already, some of the Scriptures I've already quoted. But recognize that when we're looking at our lives, when we're looking at our circumstances, we don't have all the information. So we are making an invalid and flawed judgment because we're making it without all the information. But yet if we instead we turn to God and seek His face and seek His guidance and rest in His timing. I'm not saying spending 17 years in jail, Joseph, was pleasant. I'm not saying spending 40 years on the backside of the wilderness, Moses, was pleasant. I'm not saying spending 100 years building a boat in a plain where it had never rained was pleasant. I'm not saying being thrown into the sewer, Jeremiah, was pleasant. All the things we read in the Bible were things like, man, I can't imagine having gone through that. Yet, they're in the Bible for a reason. And part of the reason they're in there is they show us that God is faithful even when things are not pleasant, even when things are painful, even when things are difficult, even when things aren't making sense. Not Ahab, I think it's Ahaz. One of the kings of Israel in the divided kingdom, and the king of Judah were together. They were allies this time rather than fighting against each other. And the king of Judah was Joash, I think. It's one thing about having a whole bunch of information in there. It doesn't always come out in a smooth order. But so you have the king of Israel and the king of Judah are getting together and they want to go into battle with somebody else. And the king of Judah turns to the king of Israel and he says, "Let's inquire of the Lord." So he calls all his prophets up and they say, "Oh yes, go into battle. You will surely win. You will win the day. You will defeat your enemies. Everything will be wonderful." And then the king of Judah says, "Okay, that's good, but don't we have a prophet of God here? Like, I don't know who these guys are, but I know they're not a prophet of God." And the king of Israel says, "Yeah, we have one, but I don't like him because he never tells me anything good." So when they call up Micaiah is the prophet that they called up. So when they call up Micaiah the prophet, and he says he said the Lord asked those people around him, or the angels around him, who should he send that they would cause the king of Israel to go into battle and get killed? And one of the angels said, "Oh, I'll go. I'll be a lying spirit in the mouths of his prophets." So this is the prophet. This is Micaiah the prophet of God, tells this to both kings and all the false prophets that are there. And one of the false prophet punches him and says, "Which lying spirit did that?" Things happen that don't seem to make sense. Things go on in our lives that are not pleasant. "I don't like this prophet because he never tells me anything good." Well, he's telling you the truth. And the truth is good, whether the truth is pleasant or not. The king of Israel got killed in that battle, by the way. The king of Judah put on the king of Israel's armor and rode in the chariot. And the king of Judah had the king of Israel's armor on and was riding out so that everybody thought that that was him. And the king of Israel was just in a regular soldier's uniform riding in another chariot. and an arrow came and killed him. Just what the prophet said. Who can I get to cause him to go into battle so that he can be killed? I'll be a lying spirit in the mouths of his prophets. All of his prophets says, go into battle, you will surely win. But the prophet of the Lord said, this is what's going to happen. As God is working in us, our circumstances are not always pleasant. Our circumstances, most of the time, much of the time, we have pain in our lives. We have difficulties in our lives. But we are making progress because God is working in us. God is working in the difficult situations. One thing it does for me is makes me hit my knees a little more often. Maybe it does that for you too. Makes me cry out to God a little bit more. Makes me examine myself a little bit more. When I encounter somebody many years ago, I was at I was in some store. I don't remember where it was. It was in Virginia. That's about all I can say. I was in a store and some guy came up to me and asked for some money. And I told him I didn't have it. And he went his way and I started walking down the hall, walking down the aisle, and just that quick, I felt the Lord say, why did you lie to him? Lord, he's out panhandling. That's not the point. Don't worry about what he's doing. Why did you lie to him? I could have said, I have some, but I'm not willing to share. It would have at least been honest. But no, I don't have it. I ended up having to hunt him down, find him in the store, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit on me. I don't tell people I don't have money now, unless I don't have money. That doesn't mean I'm all of a sudden generous. That doesn't mean I'm, you know, all of a sudden perfect. That doesn't mean I don't have an issue with people panhandling. Because I know some that are making quite a good living doing that. Not have heard of. Know some that make quite a good living doing it. But it's not up to me to judge other people. It's not up to you to judge other people. God is working in our circumstances. He's working through the people around us so that he can touch and change our hearts and our lives to make us and conform us to the image of Christ. That as we get changed more and more like Jesus and the body begins to grow and be more and more like Jesus, that our brothers and sisters are strengthened as God's working in them and as we're all working corporately to be more like Jesus. But we're making constant progress. When it looks like nothing is changing, when it looks like you stopped swimming in the river and all of a sudden you're going the wrong way, keep in mind we don't have all the answers and God is still at work. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you, recognizing, Lord, that you are working in our circumstances and you are working in our hearts and in our lives to make us more like Jesus. And even when we don't see any progress, even when we're going around that mountain one more time, we know, Lord, that you are still committed to making the changes in us. That you are still the one who causes us to will and to do of your good pleasure, to want to and to be able to do the things that you called us to do. You are still the one changing us from glory to glory. You are still the one refining us, Lord, as silver and gold are refined. And Father, we just give you praise for it. Lord, if it was in our hands, we would have fallen and stopped so long ago. But because you are faithful, you who began the good work are faithful to complete it. We can rest and relax and trust that you who see the end from the beginning, who know all of our days, knows exactly what it's going to take to change us the way you want us to be changed, to make us who you want us to be. And we thank you, Father, for that constant progress. In Jesus' name, amen.